The economics fueling Iran's protests and why China has decided to ban foreign plastics.
In the past, it was able to take very contaminated, very poor quality plastics from the West and pay very poor people not very much money to sort those manually. They've now decided that's not really worth their while.
This is the Marketplace Morning Report, live from the BBC World Service. I'm Anu Anand. Good morning. When Iran's President Hassan Rouhani won re-election last year, it was for the nuclear deal in 2016, which he promised would help boost the economy. But with inflation at nearly 10% and unemployment officially around 12.5%, many Iranians are feeling poorer today. The BBC's Middle East editor Jeremy Bowen explains why, as protests continue for a sixth day, people are so disappointed.
I think there was a lot of expectation after the nuclear deal was signed that things, that life would get better, that sanctions would be lifted, that there would be more money for people. But there are continuing problems in Iran that have made people angry and show that their aspirations aren't being met by the Islamic Republic and by the system there. Corruption is a real big issue. Inflation has been reduced, but it continues. Things like rents have really gone up a long way. And if you look at some of the slogans that have been chanted in these demonstrations as well, which have had a go at basically all the main leaders in the country, they've also criticized the way that Iran spends a lot of money on regional conflicts. They're suggesting, you know, why should our money be spent in Yemen, in Syria, supporting Hezbollah in Lebanon, Hamas in Gaza? Why should our money go that way when actually Iranians back home are suffering as well?
The BBC's Jeremy Bowen. Let's do the numbers. Markets in Asia were mixed. Both China's Hong Kong and mainland stock exchanges surged upwards nearly 2% after better-than-expected manufacturing data released today. In Europe, stocks are mostly lower. London's FTSE is down 26 points, or 0.3%. Shares in BP are down 0.3% after the British oil and gas giant said it'd be forced to pay an extra $1.5 billion this year as a result of the new U.S. tax bill. Now, there are plenty of economists who see Bitcoin as too volatile. You can now add a religious leader to that list. The Grand Mufti of Egypt has issued a ruling against investing in Bitcoin. He is the voice of religious law in Sunni Islam. The BBC's Jonathan Fruin reports.
The volatility of Bitcoin, coupled with its increasing popularity across the Middle East, has led the Grand Mufti of Egypt, Shawki Ibrahim Abdel Karim Alam, to issue an edict prohibiting transactions using the digital currency. In the fatwa, published on Monday, Shawki Alam said Muslims were not permitted to sell, buy or rent using bitcoins. He said using digital currency risked fraud and cheating, and its high-risk volatility could cause harm to individuals and nations. The Grand Mufti said he had sought the help of economic experts before coming to his decision. The move follows earlier declarations by Turkey, which had said the cryptocurrency is un-Islamic in November, and a December statement by a popular Saudi Arabian cleric who said that the anonymity embedded in Bitcoin transactions violated Islamic law. In London, I'm the BBC's Jonathan Fruin for Marketplace.
You know all that cheap plastic packaging we throw out? Well, starting this year, far less will go to China for recycling. Beijing just announced a ban on 24 grades of imported trash, saying it no longer wants to be the world's waste bin. Dustin Benton of the Green Alliance here in the UK explains why.
Well, I think the biggest reason is that China has become richer. So whereas in the past it was able to take very contaminated, very poor quality plastics from the West and pay very poor people not very much money to sort those manually, they've now decided that's not really worth their while because the yield you get out of the recycling process is very low. And as Chinese wages have risen, they've decided it's not worth it.
So where will it go instead?
Well, in the short run, in the UK, there's a bit of a problem. We think that some of it will go to India, to Thailand and to Vietnam. These are countries that have established recycling programs and with lower wages, but it won't stay there for very long because the fundamental economics are that if you produce a very contaminated, very mixed plastic waste stream, it's very difficult to recycle it cost effectively.
The thing, though, is that plastic production is expected to grow pretty massively over the next decade. And so we're going to continue to have this problem, aren't we? What is the solution?
We're definitely going to continue to have the problem. And the solution isn't to find other poorer markets to send our poor quality mixed plastics to. The solution is to designing our plastics better so we don't have plastics that are a mixture of materials or that have very large amounts of dyes or colours in them, because that makes them much less recyclable. So just to give you an example, a ton of clear HDPE, which is milk bottles are made out of, that's worth about just over $400. But a bunch of mixed plastics that haven't been separated, that's only worth about $40. So there's a huge value difference there. That's partially about collection, of course. I mean, in the UK, my favourite example is that in Greater Manchester, there are 10 local authorities that collect the same plastics in 6 different ways across the city. That seems a very confusing and difficult way of doing things when we know that, you know, a plastic bottle really just wants to get into a plastic bottle recycling factory. I think the US has been slightly more on the front foot than the UK. They have supported plastics recyclers to innovate and to make their systems a bit better, so they're more able to cope with the closing of the Chinese market. But the US will suffer as well, I think, as China closes its market. And then finally, there's a funding side of this. I mean, in the UK, we pay 10%, producers pay 10% of the cost of recycling. In France, it's 100%. Ensuring that producers pay the full cost of recycling will mean that they design their products better and they support local authorities to make the collection system better. That's really the solution.
Dustin Benton. Finally, 2017 was the safest year in history for commercial airlines. Despite more flights than ever, there were no passenger jet crashes, according to 2 separate industry reports. Here's to more of that good fortune in 2018. And one other fun New Year story for you. Due to a delay, a flight from New Zealand took off in 2018, but landed in Hawaii in 2017. Who says you can't time travel? I'm Anu Anand with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.